I sat there in my easy chair, thinking of the wonderful powers of the subconscious mind, as indicated in my own case, and wondering if I could go farther and solve the mystery that was behind the powers of my experienced and erudite old friend. I smoked and pondered until my pipe went out, then filled and relighted it to smoke and ponder still more while I looked at the picture I had painted. And as I looked, the pipe went cold in my grasp. The fixed expression on the faces of Pango Sam, Wong Fing and Landy Jim took on mobility of action, while the men on deck writhed in their dying agony. My pipe fell to the floor again, and I roused up, realizing only that I had been half asleep, but also feeling the desire to fill in the hiatus, to place in the vacant foreground the scientific apparatus vaguely described by my friend. So, after a few preliminary outlinings in charcoal, I went at it, and soon I had placed the tanks and spiral pipes and the long cup-shaped object described to me. Vaguely, as I worked, I felt that I was merely obeying suggestion, following up the hints given me by my neighbour. Yet when I had finished and seated myself for another smoke, I felt myself trembling from head to foot, as though I had actually lived the experience and was suffering from the memories. From this state of mind, I was aroused by the return of my neighbour. "By George," he said, as he looked at the painting. "Where do you get this? You've got it right and refreshed my memory. 50 years is a long time, and I had forgotten. But there is the whole apparatus, lacking only the Reverend Mr. Mayhew. Why didn't you put him in, behind that big long cup?" "Don't know," I answered. "Didn't think of him." "Well, never mind. There is a reason for all things. No doubt you will get it all, if you delve farther into the infinite." But I did not need to delve still farther, as will be apparent by what follows. "There is not much to the yarn," he continued. "The trouble began in the usual way, from the white man's fixed idea that it is always safe to kick a black man, and that a black man is anything human but not white. A good deal depends, of course, upon the kind of black man that is kicked, and Big Pango Sam was not accustomed to it. Neither were Wong Sing nor Landy Jim, but they all got it before we were well through the Straits of Sunda. All three threatened the second mate, who was doing the kicking, with sudden death. And the result was that we were all called aft and compelled under the muzzle of 3 pistols to hand in our sheath knives. I needed no such coercion, for though I was a foremost hand, I had no great sympathy for nor community of interest with my shipmates. However, the skipper and the 2 mates classed me in with the rest and had as little sympathy for me. In fact, the only companionship I enjoyed on that passage was when I was at the wheel, and the passenger would talk with me. He was about my age, and seemed to have taken a liking to me, yet there was little that we could talk about. I was uneducated and crude, whilst his was the brightest mind I had come into contact with. Even then I could appreciate that he knew more of navigation than did the skipper, and I heard him say one day that the mistake of his life was in taking to the ministry instead of devoting himself to science. For preaching came hard to him, he said, while the study of science was a delight. Well, I hardly know how the trouble started. It was partly due to our losing our knives, for a sailor without a knife is like a mechanic without tools. It put us all in a bad humour. We had to untie with our fingers rackings, whippings and stops, which ordinarily we would have cut. And one day, when the passenger had his apparatus on the poop, a fierce squall hit us, and soon developed into a gale that demanded the taking in of canvas. There was no time to lift those heavy tanks and flasks down below. So, while we hauled on downhauls, clue lines and bunt lines, the passenger remained by his property, watching and guarding it. We had trouble at once from the lack of our knives, for the coils of all halyards had been stopped up clear of the deck, and we had to untie these, while the 3 bullies of the afterguard yelled at us. Seas began boarding us too, and that made matters worse. But finally we got the 2 royals, the gaff topsail, and the flying jib down, and the courses clued up. But while